You ever just stare at like a mountain of TOEFL prep books and you kind of just think, can't someone just tell me what I really need to know?
Oh, totally. I mean, who has time for all that, right?
That's exactly why we're here. This is the Deep Dive, and we're going deep, deep, deep into the TOEFL IDT, specifically the speaking and writing sections. It's all for you, the learner, so you can totally ace those sections.
No more getting lost in the weeds. We're cutting through the noise, giving you the core stuff. Think of us like your TOEFL
I
Sherpas.
love that. So there are two main sections we're tackling today. The speaking section is a cool 16 minutes long. You'll get four tasks thrown at you, and they're all about showing off how well you can use English in an academic setting.
Think of it as flexing those English muscles. You'll have one task, the independent speaking task, where it's all you, your opinions, your experiences. Then you get to play with reading, listening, and speaking in the three integrated speaking tasks.
Ooh, integrated. Fancy. Those integrated tasks sound like they could be a real challenge.
They can be,
Yeah.
but they're also cleverly designed. Like
Yeah.
they're mini simulations of real university situations. Imagine, reading a campus announcement, then hearing students debate its impact. That's the vibe.
Okay, I'm starting to get it. But before we jump into the integrated stuff, let's break down that first one, the independent speaking task. It's question one on the test, right?
You got it. And in this one, they give you a topic you're probably familiar with, and you have to share your opinion based on what you know, what you've lived.
They sound simple enough, but I bet there's a catch. It's the TOEFL, after all.
You're catching on fast. The time limit is the catch. You get a whopping 15 seconds to prepare and then only 45 seconds to speak. It's a sprint. A lot of times, they use what's called a paired choice format. So you're basically picking between two viewpoints or saying if you agree or disagree with the statement.
So how do I make sure I squeeze all my brilliant thoughts into 45 seconds? Are there any magic phrases I should be using?
Ugh. I wish there were magic phrases. But there are definitely some helpful ones. To state your opinion clearly, start strong with, personally, I think, or in my opinion. It shows you're taking a stand. If it's about preferences, I enjoy, I'd rather, I prefer. Those are your buddies. And when you're picking a side, keep it simple and direct. I agree with, or I disagree that. Gets right to the point.
Okay, that makes sense. Direct and to the point. I like it. What if I want to add a little nuance, show both sides of the coin?
Totally. To show you see both sides, you can use gelled, but it's sync it, to smoothly transition to your perspective. Or you can acknowledge another view with some people feel, however. But remember, you're on the clock. The real key is explaining why you feel the way you do. So using one reason why, or I feel this way because, is super important.
So basically, state your opinion, give a reason, and back it up with an example all in 45 seconds. What are some good ways to introduce those examples?
For example, the Kettle Arsh. It's a classic. If you're running out of time, a strong closing statement like in conclusion or for these reasons leaves a lasting impression.
Got it. So all this speaking is great, but how do they actually score this 45-second whirlwind of thoughts?
They break it down into three main areas: delivery, language use, and topic development. Think of it like this. Delivery is how clear and smooth your speaking is. Are you understandable, or do you sound like a robot? Language use looks at the range and accuracy of your vocabulary and grammar. Are you using those fancy words correctly? And lastly, topic development is all about how well you organize your ideas, support your opinion, and give reasons and examples.
Okay, so what does a good score even look like?
A score of 4, the top score, means your response flows well, your language is accurate, and you've connected your points logically. Basically, you sound like you know what you're talking about. A score of 3 means you answered the question, but maybe your explanation could have been a little more detailed, or there might be some minor language slips. Nothing major, though.
Makes sense. So we've talked about speaking our minds, but now let's dive into the deep end with the integrated speaking tasks, questions 2 through 4.
Now things get interesting. Remember how we said these tasks combine skills? Tasks 2 and 3 are all about reading, listening, then speaking. Task 4 is more about listening and then summarizing what you heard.
I'm getting a little nervous just thinking about it.
No worries. It sounds more intimidating than it actually is. These tasks are designed to show that you can handle the kind of academic stuff you'll encounter at university.
So for these tasks, it sounds like taking good notes is going to be super important, right?
Absolutely. In tasks 2 and 3, you'll first get a short reading passage. Think a university announcement, maybe an excerpt from a textbook. Then you'll listen to a related audio clip, maybe a student discussion or a mini lecture. Task 4 is a bit different. It's all about listening to a longer lecture and taking killer notes.
Okay, I'm ready to channel my inner stenographer, but wait, how much time do I even have for all this?
Time management is key here. For tasks 2 and 3, you get 30 seconds to prep after you've read and listened, and then a minute to speak your response. Task 4 is a bit more intense, only 20 seconds to prep, but you still get a full minute to summarize that lecture.
So each of these integrated tasks has a slightly different focus, right?
Exactly. Each task is testing a different skill. Task 2 is all about making connections. Can you see how the reading and the listening relate to each other, and can you explain that link?
Interesting. So what about Task 3?
Task 3 zooms in on those juicy academic concepts. First, you'll read about a concept, then you hear a lecture expanding on it. And you got to bring those two pieces together into your response. It's like solving an academic puzzle.
And Task 4, the one with the long lecture.
That's the ultimate listening comprehension test. You've got to be able to pull out the main points from the lecture and present them in a clear, concise summary. All spoken, of course.
I'm starting to feel the pressure, but it also sounds like a really valuable skill to have, being able to synthesize information like that. So how do they score these integrated tasks?
Just like the independent task, they're scored on delivery, language use, and topic development. The top score of 4 means you've nailed it. You presented the important info from both sources clearly and fluently, used the right language accurately, and your ideas flow logically. You've basically woven a beautiful academic tapestry. A level 3 response might miss some key details, have a few awkward phrases, or the connection between the sources might be a bit fuzzy.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's get practical. What are some golden rules for acing these integrated speaking tasks?
All right, here's the secret sauce. First, become a note-taking ninja. We've said it before, but it's worth repeating. Active reading and listening, that's where it's at.
I'm already sharpening my pencils. What else?
Make sure you're answering the specific question. Don't go off on tangents, no matter how tempting. Stay focused. And you have to use information from all the sources they give you. Don't just focus on the reading or the listening. You need to bring it all together in your answer.
Weaving it all together. Got it. What about organization? I tend to ramble when I'm nervous.
Structure is your friend. Organize your response in a logical way. Use transition words like first, second, however, therefore. Think of them as signposts guiding your listener through your explanation.
Okay, signposts. Got it. And what about those note-taking strategies we talked about? Any tips for capturing the essence without writing a novel?
The key is to be strategic, not a stenographer. Don't try to write down every single word. Focus on the main ideas and those juicy supporting details. And this is crucial. Ditch the full sentences. Keywords, abbreviations, symbols, those are your best friends.
Symbols? Like what?
Like EG, for example. A plus sign for agreement or support. A minus sign for disagreement. An equal sign for things that are similar. And a question mark with an arrow for cause and effect. Get creative.
I love it. We're speaking our own secret language now. What about how we actually organize our notes on the page? Any tips for keeping it all straight?
Some people like to use 2 columns, one for reading notes, one for listening notes. Keeps it nice and tidy. Bullet points are your friends here. They keep things concise and easy to scan when you're under pressure. And when you're listening, pay close attention to those examples the speaker gives. They're often the keys to unlocking the main points.
So I'm taking my notes, I'm using symbols, I've got my bullet points. What about the relationship between the reading and the listening? Should I be making a note of that?
Absolutely. How do they connect? Does the lecture support the reading? Contradict it. Give examples. Make a quick note of that relationship. And listen for transition words. Things like first, furthermore, however, in conclusion. They give you clues about the structure of the lecture.
Got it. I'm ready to take on the TOEFL note-taking challenge, but what about when it's my turn to actually speak? Any tips for staying calm and collected under pressure?
Don't forget to breathe. Seriously, take a deep breath before you start speaking. Speak clearly at a natural pace and volume. It's normal to feel a little nervous, but try to relax. Picture yourself explaining it to a friend, and keep those ums and uhs to a minimum. They eat up precious time.
Breathe, relax, ditch the ums. Got it. And what about pacing? How do I make sure I fit everything in?
Keep an eye on the clock. You've got 1 minute, so make sure you're pacing yourself to cover those crucial points. Don't get bogged down in unnecessary details. Now let's talk about a little secret weapon, speaking templates.
Ooh, templates. Sounds intriguing. Tell me more.
Templates are like a framework for your response. They can be super helpful, especially when you're under pressure. For task 1, the independent one, a basic structure could be: introduction, state your opinion clearly. Then reason 1 and supporting point 1. Follow that with reason 2 and supporting point 2. Finally, wrap it up with the conclusion, restate your opinion.
Okay, simple enough. What about task 2?
For task two, you could start by introducing the topic, telling how the reading and listening connect. Then, for each main point in the reading, you explain the corresponding point in the lecture, give supporting details, and clearly show how they relate or how they differ. There are templates for all the integrated tasks, so definitely explore those as you prep.
Templates, note-taking strategies, breathing exercises, I'm feeling more prepared already. What are some general strategies for rocking the entire speaking section?
Immerse yourself in English. It's like a language bath. Listen to podcasts, binge watch TV shows, try watching without subtitles sometimes, read articles online, and then practice speaking about what you've consumed. Summarize it to yourself, to a friend, to your dog, whoever will listen.
My dog is a very good listener. What about recording myself? Is that helpful?
Recording yourself is a game changer. It's like holding a mirror up to your speaking. You can hear your pronunciation, your pacing, all those sneaky filler words. And if you can get feedback from a teacher or a fluent English speaker, even better. It's like having a personal coach in your corner.
I love that analogy. And you mentioned something called time reduction activities earlier. What are those?
Ah, yes. That's a fun little challenge. Basically, you try to say the same information in less and less time. So let's say you're explaining a concept. Start with maybe 90 seconds, then try to do it in 70 seconds, then in 60. It really forces you to get to the point and speak fluently under pressure.
That sounds intense, but also effective. Anything else I should be doing to prep?
Of course, you've got to take those full-length practice tests, get comfy with the format, the timing, the whole shebang. At the end of the day, the more you speak English in any situation, the more confident and fluent you'll become.
Makes sense. Practice makes perfect, as they say.
Oh.
Okay, let's switch gears now and tackle the other big one, the writing section. This is where we show off our written English skills, right?
Exactly. Think academic writing, the kind of writing you'll be doing in your university classes. You'll have two tasks in this section. First, the integrated writing task, where you'll work with a reading passage and a lecture. You'll have 20 minutes for this one, and your response needs to be at least 150 words.
Okay, 20 minutes. Got it. What about the second task?
The second task is called writing for an academic discussion. Here, you'll engage with a professor's question and responses from two students, and you'll write your own perspective. You have 10 minutes for this one, and you need at least 100 words.
So, two different tasks, different time limits, different word counts. Okay, I'm tracking. Let's start with that integrated writing task. What's the deal with that one?
So first, you get a short academic passage, around 300 words, and 3 minutes to read it. Think of it like an intro to a topic. It might describe a problem, a theory, a process, something like that. And the good news is you can refer back to the reading passage while you're writing.
Oh, that's nice. So it's not a memory test.
Not at all. Then comes the listening part. You'll hear a lecture, but 2 minutes long, and it's related to the reading. But here's the catch. You only hear it once. So those note-taking skills we talked about, they're crucial here.
Time to whip out those symbols. So after I've read and listened, what am I actually writing about?
Here's the task. You need to write a summary of the main points from the lecture. But here's the twist. You also need to explain how those points relate to the ideas in the reading passage. And here's another crucial point. You can only use information from the reading and the lecture. No outside knowledge allowed and no personal opinions. It's all about synthesizing what you've been given.
So it's like I'm a reporter creating a report based on these two sources.
Exactly. And here's what's interesting. The lecture often presents a contrasting viewpoint to the reading. It might challenge what the reading says, point out weaknesses, offer a solution, or explain something the reading didn't.
Ah, so it's not just a simple summary. I need to show how the two sources connect or maybe clash.
You got it. There are a few common patterns you'll see. There might be an opposition or contrast relationship where the lecture directly goes against what the reading says. Or the lecture might focus on the weaknesses of theories presented in the reading.
What are some other patterns?
Sometimes you'll see problems in the reading, and the lecture offers solutions, or the other way around, solutions in the reading and the lecture points out their weaknesses. For example, in an opposition or contrast scenario, you'd be asked to summarize the lecture and explain how it contradicts the reading.
Okay, so I'm looking for these patterns, taking my notes, making connections. What are the key things I need to remember when I'm actually writing my response?
First, make sure you hit all the main points from the lecture and clearly explain how each point connects to the reading. Don't leave anything hanging. Organize your essay logically. You can even use a paragraph for each major point from the lecture and then explain how it links to the reading. And transitions are your friends. Use words like, however, the speaker argues that. They really help show those relationships.
Okay, transitions check. What about other general writing tips?
Always, always cite your sources. Use phrases like the author of the reading states or according to the lecturer. Make sure your essay has a clear structure. You need an introduction, those well-developed body paragraphs we talked about, and maybe a concluding sentence. And again, transitions are key. Use them within sentences and between paragraphs to keep everything flowing smoothly.
Got it. Introduction, body paragraphs, conclusion. And of course, no personal opinions allowed.
Right. This isn't your personal blog. Stick to the facts, stick to the sources, and meet the word count. You need at least 150 words. Make sure you're summarizing, connecting, paraphrasing, and citing all the way through.
So summarizing, connecting, paraphrasing, citing, I'm writing all this down. What about an outline? Would that be helpful?
A simple outline can be a lifesaver. It helps you stay focused and organized. Your intro could introduce the topic, the main points from both sources, and how they relate. Then, each body paragraph tackles a point from the reading and explains the corresponding response from the lecture. You can even add a brief concluding paragraph to wrap it all up.
Okay, I like the sound of that. What about time management? Any tips for making the most of those 20 minutes?
Here's a plan. Spend a couple of minutes reviewing your notes and making a quick outline. Then, 15 minutes for writing. And leave those last few minutes to reread and check for any mistakes.
Solid plan. So, how do those TOEFL folks actually score this writing task? Is it just a matter of checking off boxes?
Not quite. It's a holistic score, meaning they look at the overall quality of your response. It's scored by both humans and an automated system using a detailed rubric. A top score of 5 means you nailed it. You picked out the key info from the lecture, presented it clearly and accurately, linked it to the reading, and you've got a well-organized essay. There might be a few tiny language errors, but nothing major. A score of 4 means you're doing well. You might have missed a few minor points, or the connection between the sources might not be crystal clear, and there might be a few more noticeable language errors, but nothing that prevents understanding.
Okay, so I need to be clear, accurate, organized, and show how the sources connect. What specific language skills should I be focusing on to get that top score?
Summarizing is your superpower here. You need to be able to condense the main ideas and those juicy details from both sources. Then there's paraphrasing. That's putting the info in your own words, using different vocabulary and sentence structures. It's like a language remix.
It's like showing them you really understand the material, not just copying and pasting.
Exactly. It also prevents plagiarism, which is a big no-no in academic writing. Mm-hmm. Citing your sources properly is another essential skill. And finally, there's synthesizing. That's the ability to blend information from both sources in a way that shows how they relate, how they connect, how they maybe disagree. It's like being a master weaver, bringing all the threads together.
I love these analogies. So let's talk more about paraphrasing. Any practical tips for doing it effectively?
Absolutely. There are a few tricks you can use. Try changing the part of speech of words, like turn a noun into a verb or an adjective into an adverb. Using synonyms, words with similar meanings, can also be helpful. But be careful with synonyms. Make sure they fit the context, especially with those tricky technical terms or proper nouns. Don't change Einstein to smart scientist, for example.
Right, that wouldn't go over too well. What are some other techniques?
You can switch up the sentence structure. Change from active voice to passive voice or vice versa. Break down long sentences into shorter ones. Instead of using to-be verbs all the time, try using action verbs that end in ing.
Okay, so mix it up, be active, get those ing verbs in there.
Exactly. You can also rephrase those which clauses, change negative statements into positive ones where appropriate, and swap out those transition words and phrases for similar ones.
So many options. I'm feeling like a language artist now. What about citing sources? What's the smoothest way to do that in my writing?
The most straightforward way is to use those attribution phrases,
mm-hmm.
You know, according to the reading passage or the lecturer in the audio clip states. Mm. You could also use those snazzy reporting verbs to introduce the information. Things like mentions, states, believes, argues, comments, discusses, agrees, disagrees, indicates, informs, points out, supports, rejects, claims, explains, challenges, says, thinks, proposes, concludes, disputes.
Wow, that's quite the list. So many ways to show where the information comes from.
The TOEFL wants to see that you know how to play by the academic rules. Now, let's do a quick recap of those common relationships between the reading and the lecture. What are the big ones to watch out for? Most likely, the lecture is going to present a contrasting view to the reading. Maybe the reading presents a problem, and the lecture proposes a solution. Or the reading makes a prediction, and the lecture explains why that prediction is probably wrong. It could be that the reading offers a theory, and the lecture gives evidence that contradicts it. Or maybe the reading suggests solutions and the lecture points out all their flaws. Or maybe the reading raises a question, a mystery, and the lecture offers a possible explanation.
So many possibilities. Okay, any last words of wisdom for conquering the integrated writing task?
Remember your mission. Summarize the lecture accurately and explain how it connects to the reading. You'll usually find about 3 key arguments in the lecture that you can link to the reading. And remember, the lecture is usually taking a different stance. So summarize those key points, paraphrase, cite your sources, show that connection or that contrast.
Summarize, paraphrase, cite, connect. Got it. What about time management and word count?
Manage your time wisely. Aim for that 150 word minimum. And if you're taking the computer-based test, typing speed is your friend. Now let's talk about the structure of your response. Start with a clear intro. State the topic, briefly outline the key points from both sources, and show the relationship.
Okay, intro, then what?
Then you have your body paragraphs. Each paragraph should address a point from the reading and explain the corresponding response from the lecture. Give those supporting details, show how they relate or how they clash. You can add an optional conclusion to wrap it all up nicely. And here's the most important rule. Don't include personal opinions or info that's not in the reading or the lecture. Stick to the script.
Stick to the script. Got it. All right, on to the final challenge, the writing for an academic discussion task. This is where we get to share our own opinions, right?
You got it. This task comes after the integrated writing, and it's all about engaging in a mini academic discussion. You'll see a professor's question and responses from 2 students. Your job is to write your own response, at least 100 words, in 10 minutes. And you need to state your opinion and back it up.
Okay, so this is where I get to shine. What kind of skills do I need to show off here?
First, you got to understand the prompt. What's the professor asking? What are the students saying? Then brainstorm your own ideas. What's your take on this? Jot down some reasons, some examples to support your view. You also need to show off your grammar skills. Use correct grammar, appropriate vocabulary, and write those beautiful, well-structured sentences.
I'm brushing up on my grammar rules as we speak. What about organization?
Use transition words to make your writing flow smoothly. And always, always take a moment to read through and fix any errors. You want to make a good impression on that professor. And remember, the whole discussion prompt stays on the screen so you can refer back to it.
That's helpful. So what kind of topics can I expect in these academic discussions? Anything goes.
Not exactly. They try to keep the topics broad and accessible. You won't need any specialized knowledge. And they try to avoid anything too controversial. You might see discussions about art, entertainment, sports, public policy, education, business, technology, psychology, the environment, communication, travel, sociology, family life, economics. Basically, things that most people have some thoughts about.
Okay, so a wide range of topics, but nothing too obscure or divisive. Got it. And what about the format of the questions? What are the different types I might see?
You'll typically see 1 of 3 types: agree or disagree tasks, where the professor makes a statement and you have to say if you agree or disagree and explain why.
Okay, agree or disagree, what's next?
Then there are paired choice tasks. They give you 2 options, you have to pick one and explain why it's better. And finally, free choice tasks. But here the professor describes a situation or an issue, and you have to give your ideas or suggestions on how to handle it.
So I'm either picking a side, making a choice, or offering solutions. Got it. How should I organize my response for this task? I'm assuming a 5-paragraph essay is a bit overkill for 10 minutes.
Right. You've got to be efficient here. A strong paragraph or 2 is usually the best way to go. Start with an introductory sentence that states your opinion or your choice, nice and clear. Then develop your main argument in the following sentences. Give explanations, examples, details, and you can add an optional concluding sentence to summarize your main point.
Short and sweet, but packed with substance. What about time management? How should I be using those 10 minutes?
Here's a good strategy. Spend 1 or 2 minutes reading the prompt carefully and brainstorming your ideas. Then give yourself 6 to 8 minutes to actually write your response. And that last minute or two, that's for proofreading. Check for any errors, make sure it's clear and concise.
Okay, so read, think, write, proofread, got it. And how do they score this task?
It's also a holistic score, just like the integrated writing task, on a scale of 0 to 5. A 5 means you hit it out of the park. Your response is relevant, super clear, and it adds to the discussion. You've shown you've got those language skills down pat with great explanations and very few errors, if any. A score of 4 means it's a good response. You've given relevant points, you've explained them well, and you've used a variety of sentence structures. There might be a few minor errors, but nothing major.
I'm aiming for that 5.
Are there any phrases I can use to really impress the professor?
Absolutely. To state your opinion, you can use "in my opinion," or "I believe that." To justify your choice between options, try something like, "I think option A is better than option B because," if you're agreeing or disagreeing with a student, you can say, "I agree with student's name's point that," or "I respectfully disagree with the idea that."
What if I only partially agree?
Ah, good point. You can say something like, "While I see student's name's point about X, I also think that Y." To introduce your supporting reasons, you can use, "There are several reasons why I feel this way," or, for instance, to list multiple points, use "first," "second," "furthermore." To add more information, try "in addition to what student's name said," or "moreover." To show a result, use "therefore," or "as a result."
So many great phrases. What if I want to present a contrasting view?
"However," or "on the other hand," "are your friends there?" And to wrap it up, use "in conclusion," or "to summarize."
Okay, I'm taking notes. Any final advice for acing this writing task?
Absolutely. Step one, read that prompt carefully. Pay attention to the directions, the professor's question, what the students are saying. Jot down some quick notes on the main ideas. Then figure out your own stance, your opinion, and come up with some reasons and examples to back it up.
So read, think, decide. Then what?
Your response needs to answer the professor's question directly and add something valuable to the discussion. You can expand on a point someone else made or bring in a new related idea. But don't just copy what the student said. Add your own unique twist.
Make the professor go, "Wow, the student really gets it."
Exactly. And finally, don't forget to proofread. Check for clarity, organization, grammar, vocab, all that good stuff.
Read, think, write, proofread. I'm starting to see a pattern here. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground. As we wrap up this TOEFL deep dive, what are the most important things to remember for both the speaking and writing sections?
For speaking, it's all about knowing the formats of the tasks. Independent versus integrated. Know those time limits for both prepping and responding. And know what they're looking for when they score you. Delivery, language use, topic development, those are your big three.
And don't forget those note-taking skills. They're essential for those integrated tasks.
Absolutely. Use good language, structure your responses well. Maybe use those templates as a starting point. And practice, practice, practice. The more you speak English, the better you'll do.
Speaking, practicing, I'm on it.
Right.
What about the writing section? What are the biggies there?
For the integrated writing, it's all about that summary of the lecture and how it connects or contrasts with the reading passage. Paraphrase accurately, cite your sources, no personal opinions, no outside info, and stay organized.
Be objective. Cite those sources and structure, structure, structure.
You got it. Now, for the writing for an academic discussion task, it's all about you. Express your opinion clearly, support it with good reasons and examples, and use your own knowledge and experiences. Make a real contribution to that discussion.
Show them what I know. Make that professor proud.
Exactly. This deep dive was designed to give you, the learner, a solid understanding of these two sections. We wanted to highlight the strategies, the insights, the things that will make the biggest difference in your prep.
So, what's our final takeaway message? What should our listeners do next? Now it's your turn. Go back to those study materials, review the strategies we talked about, maybe play around with some basic templates, and definitely seek out sample questions. Practice those speaking and writing tasks. The more you practice, the more confident you'll feel.
Practice makes perfect. I'm a big believer in that. Okay, before we sign off, here's a question to ponder. Now that you have a clearer understanding of the TOEFL IBT speaking and writing sections, what's the very first thing you're going to focus on in your prep? Think about it and get to work. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Happy studying.